Good afternoon. Welcome into the KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show as we have a full slate of Northwest Missouri State Athletics coming up for you over the next hour as we're going to be rolling through Northwest Missouri State Volleyball. A huge win over the weekend, knocking off number 10 Nebraska Kearney, the first win over the Lopers since 1990. Northwest football return for the first time this year, a joint practice with Sioux Falls. Head coach Rich Wright will join us to talk a little bit about that. Heba Magoob is the MIAA track athlete of the week. She'll be on with head coach Brandon Masters as they talk about some records that she set over the weekend. Baseball in action. They're playing today against William Jewell in Liberty. Northwest Missouri State soccer, also an overtime win over the weekend against Washburn, so a lot going on there. But we're going to start things off with Northwest Missouri State softball coming off a sweep of Newman over the weekend, now getting set to take on Lincoln later on today. Head coach Ryan Anderson joining us to start off the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Northwest Missouri State softball coming off a couple wins over Newman on Saturday, 3-2 and 4-3, took on number 18 UCO the day prior to that, a couple losses there. But to go in against the top 25 team and some really good competition, be able to bounce back that very next day and take two from Newman, just a sign of not letting those things linger and having that short memory.
Yeah, definitely. We actually played well for 10 of the 14 innings against UCO, and we had a 5-0 lead against UCO and made some mistakes. They got back in the game and then couldn't hold it, so bounced back the second day against Newman, and Newman on paper doesn't look very good, but yet they're knocking off teams. You know, the week before, they actually split with UCO, so they're a team that if you leave them around, they'll beat you. So it was good to get two wins, especially having to come back in the second game and last inning, score a couple runs to win it.
Whenever you look at those two games against the Broncos, is that good for the younger players, a kind of measuring stick of saying, all right, this is a team that's near the top of the MIAA, this is where we're trying to get to, and just kind of see what it's going to take to get to that point?
Well, you know, that's what we talked about. You know, if we want to think that we deserve to be on the field, we've got to earn it. And we had a couple chances, too. And, you know, looking at the game, how we ended the game, the second game, we had one senior on the field, and that was Caitlin, who's a fifth-year senior. The rest were freshmen and sophomore. So, you know, we have a lot of bright side there. But, you know, it's time, you know, we wanted them to understand to start stepping forward, stepping up, you know, and realizing that, okay, it's time to start playing.
We talked a little bit about Breck last week, but against Newman, the opener there on Saturday, give her a one-run lead early in that one and eventually built it up a couple more runs there. But staking her to an early lead and then just kind of letting her go, a couple runs both unearned in that contest there. But seeing her come out and here's the lead, hang on to it, and she does that for you.
No, she did. She kept throwing strikes, kept getting outs, and, you know, never really was hit hard. You know, they had a couple infield hits here and there, and then they had a bloop over the top and things like that. But she got out of the situations that we were in. So, you know, she earned that win and kept throwing well.
One run wins like this, 3-2 in the opener, 4-3 in the second game. And are those fun ones to be sitting there as a coach of they're close, they're grinded out, they're low scoring, and knowing that one pitch here or there can completely change the complexion of a doubleheader?
Well, you know, you want to say yes, but, you know, in our eyes, you know, it shouldn't have been that close. You know, they played well. They did what they were supposed to. But what we talked about later was all the opportunities we had with runners in scoring position, we got to score. We got to find a way to just get a single to score two runs here and there. But, you know, it was good to get those one-run games because, you know, wins are wins.
That second one, walking it off there in the bottom of the seventh inning, it's a one-run contest. Are you just kind of sitting there willing your team, saying, hey, just hang in there, wait for that opportunity to pop up and take it, and then, of course, going out there in the bottom of the seventh doing just that?
Yeah, it was, you know, we had top of the order coming up. JC had a rough day. She hit it right to people, hadn't had a hit yet, and she comes out, second pitch, gets a hit. Next hitter, Hannah, first pitch, it's a single up the middle. So, you know, now you're sitting 3-4 hole, and, you know, Olivia hits it up the middle. They make a mistake, so now the base is loaded with nobody out. And so now it's like, okay, just hit one in the outfield anywhere, we'll score one. And so it was a good situation to be in, bases loaded, nobody out, and have that chance to you know, it only took one hit, but really you have three at-bats to score a couple runs there. So it was good to get that win.
And JC, a player that's been around enough to have a little bit of experience and kind of know what she's getting into in that situation, do you have to have any conversations of, you know what, one base at a time, let's go station to station and move it around. We don't need just one big swing.
Yeah, no, and that's what we, like fourth inning, it was just like we just need base runners, you know, singles, doubles. We had a 20-mile-an-hour wind blowing straight in, so it's like you need them to realize we're not going to hit it over. So it got to where it was just we had singles and doubles, or really just singles, so to score there. So it was good to get it done that way.
When you look at the weekend overall, too, Reagan Kirby, Ashley Creek, and Caitlin Weiss being honored. We've talked about Caitlin plenty of times, too, with what she's done and always swinging that big bat. But the three seniors overall getting recognized, still a few weeks left in the season. But what have they meant to this team, and especially going through a pretty irregular year like this?
Yeah, you know, Caitlin's been around, like I said, fifth year here, and she's done a great job. She's played, you know, four different positions for us and pitched on top of that. So Reagan and Ashley, they're only second-year players. They both transferred in, and, you know, they're both been searching for time here and there. Ashley's pitched well in situations, and Reagan's popped in and out at outfield and, you know, trying to find her groove there. So they both contributed this year and, you know, hopefully continue this last portion.
And a chance to set the tone for the entire week coming up this afternoon, because play today, play Wednesday, turn right around again on Saturday. There's a lot going on right now, and so why not go out, get a couple wins, and try to get that momentum continued, I guess, from Saturday?
Oh, we have to. It's Lincoln, Mo West, Fort Hays, Kearney, then turn around next week and have Washburn the following Wednesday. So, you know, it's a big stretch here, and if we can make it through that, you know, we'll get a little bit of time off. But, you know, it's going to be a tough 8 days of just continuous play. Plus, we have a long road trip in there to Hayes, to Kearney, and back. And so it's a stress on a team no matter what. But now you put four extra games in there, and, you know, it's going to see what you're made of.
I'd have to imagine from the player's perspective, they like the games as opposed to the practice, and so being out there will be fun. Coach's point of view, I mean, it's, hey, we're going to throw it all out there. If we get hot, this could be a huge week. Do you like it? Do you hate it? What are your thoughts?
You know, at this point of the year, you love to play because it's always tough to, in April, you play Saturday, Sunday, and then not be able to play till the following Saturday, Sunday. You know, so like you said, you hope you get hot. You hope you got four or five hitters that get hot and start carrying the team, and you just hope that, you know, physically people can make it through and be able to pitch seven innings and be able to, you know, help us every doubleheader.
A chance for a big week coming up here for Northwest Missouri State softball. It all starts today with a doubleheader against Lincoln. Ryan, appreciate the time and good luck this week.
Thank you.
Ryan Anderson, Northwest Missouri State head softball coach. We will take a timeout. Be back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. It's time now to talk track and field as Brandon Masters and Heba Magoob are with us here today on the Coaches Show. And first of all, Brandon, let's just talk about this weekend. It was a busy weekend for you guys, a couple of different sites as well. But first of all, let's just talk about the Wichita State Open. It looked like you had several individuals that performed very well for you.
Yeah, actually, we had a great weekend. And it's a bit of a trip down to Wichita, but worth it. Pretty late arrival for the kids coming back on Saturday nights. But you know, we're in a place where we're starting to see some kids perform. And you know, we're middle of the season now, and having run the last couple of weekends outdoor for the first time in quite a while, it's nice to see these performances start to. Start to pop, really.
Now, we'll talk more with Heba here in just a little bit, but boy, she had a fantastic weekend, didn't she?
Oh, it was fun. It was one of those weekends that we knew were coming, and Heba and I have a lot of conversations about, you know, the strategy and where we're going to run fast, and it's nice when we put together a plan and it actually works. So Heba had a great race. I think the first 100-meter race she hadn't run, but any here at Northwest. So it is so great to see her come out. We've been working on blocks. We know that was a Achilles heel of the 200 for her right now. So her first 100-meter race as a Northwest track and field athlete, and she breaks the school record and runs 11:71, which is unbelievable. We knew she was fast, but she had a great start and really drove, and it was a fantastic race with ladies beside her too as well. So that really helps. She's a fighter and a competitor, and so she's going to try to get the win no matter what. So
I tell you what, it kind of makes me feel a little bit old there. I remember Venus Harris running it in 1987. As a matter of fact, I've been covering it that long, so kind of bringing things full circle here just a little bit, but he would just kind of talk about having an opportunity to run that race and for the first time going out and setting a school record and what that means to you and some of the process that you went through to go in and win that race.
Yeah, so I've been really, like Coach said, I've been struggling with like my beginning and kind of the speed aspect of my 200, and so I kind of had an idea, and then we kind of talked about it, and he had the same idea of me going out and running the 100 at that meet, and I think he put me in as a rail fast time, which I didn't know if I can run that time, but then I looked at the school record and I was like, and then I took my 200 and divided it by two and I was like, oh, that's easy. So I just went out there and was like, just run like you usually run and we can get it.
You know, it's fun when a coach is right. I entered her at 11:70 and she runs 11:71. So we weren't perfect, but pretty darn close.
And just really having a heck of a season up to this point and just really set things off there in Wichita. Just kind of talk about the way you prepared for this year in particular. Again, missing last year's outdoor season due to the COVID situation, having an opportunity to run, and it looks like you're really taking full advantage of it this year.
Yeah, so it was really nice having kind of having the whole entire winter season and the indoor season to train and kind of develop some of the stuff that I'm weak in and not have to worry about competing every week or having to like lay off a week because I have to run big that weekend. So I really took advantage of that, and me and Coach have several conversations about just doing this or even using one of our indoor meets as a rep for practice and just going hard and running some races I've never run before, actually, which was fun.
I guess that's just a case of taking what is a disadvantage with COVID and turning in maybe a little bit of a positive for you and trying to make the best of the situation then.
Right.
Yeah, it's neat when, you know, Heba and I talk a lot. Obviously, she's a fifth-year senior, and she has a lot of input. She's a student of the game. She understands, you know, the MIAA and what it takes. And we put together a timeline. When she decided to come back, of course, I high-fived her. You know, I was like so excited. You know, but then it was like, get to work. What are we going to do? What is our goals? We have high goals as Heba and I together. You know, let's go. You know, break some school records. Let's go for a national championship, and that's really what we're doing. The nice thing is, we also have a few other girls that she gets to, so many girls that she can mentor as well, and we have a big freshman class. And having her come back is big in that aspect as well. And then some of those girls ran pretty well this weekend as well for the 4x4 that we went down to Pitt for. So.
Yeah, I imagine, Heba, from that standpoint, too, you're really enjoying the competition this year, too, but also gives you an opportunity to bring along some of the younger runners. And as you graduate and go on to your career outside of Northwest, you can kind of watch what they're doing and know you still had a little bit of part in the success that in the coming years here.
Yeah, and I really think it's very important for them because when I came into Northwest, there was maybe like one person I was competing with or one person I looked up to, and then like, you know, had pushed me at practice. And then for them, it'd be like, for them to look at me like that, it kind of makes me feel like, okay, like I have a part, you know, I'm playing my part in the team and I'm kind of helping them. And they have goals to be like, okay, so if you came from this and got to this, I can do the same thing.
And Brandon, you might just talk about when you sat down with Heba and determined the type of goals you wanted to have for her this year. What are the things you look for to make sure that these are goals that are attainable, realistic, and that still push her in the direction you want her to go for this year?
Sure. You know, Heba and I have sat down so many times about, okay, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? And, you know, Heba's big weakness has always been that first 30 to 50 meters. And, you know, it starts, blocks, and that comes from, you know, strength and power development. And Heba has never loved the weight room. And she was not a big fan of me and my program in the beginning because it's very weight room specific. And, you know, she wanted to be great, and part of being great in her events is being able to have that first 30 to 50 meters. She needed to be a 100-meter runner. Obviously her best event, is what we believe is the 400. Mm-hmm. And, you can't run a fast 400 if you don't have a fast 200. Well, you can't run a fast 200 if you're not fast. And so, the speed and power development that she's, grudgingly went through the last 18 months of weight room and development has now paid dividends to what we're seeing on the track this year.
Well, it was a busy weekend this past weekend, but you're looking down the line up next, another trip to Emporia, Kansas for the Midwest Classic.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a very kind of a relaxed meet, not a very big meet. It's a training kind of weekend for us. You know, a lot of sports don't have that. They have win-loss records and they have to be on, and we don't have that. We have training to be great at one point. You know, we don't score anything until the conference championship and national championship. So going down to Emporia, it's a a light meet. We'll take a small group, and the rest will train here, so it should be a little bit of a mental break as well. We are kind of tuning up for this past weekend. We did well. We're excited about that. But then we got another training segment the next 10 days before we head to Drake and then also back to Pitt that weekend. So,
all right. Well, guys, it's been great having you with us on the show here today.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
again, with us has been Brandon Masters, the head track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State, and Heba Magoob off the women's track and field team. Again, great to have them with us on the show here today. And we'll be back and have more right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey. Praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House. Or at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's game is brought to you by the Estates of Maryville, a vintage cooperative presenting adults 55 and better an inside-outside maintenance-free individual home ownership and active lifestyle within a new development off Icon Road in Maryville. More information is at vintagecooperatives.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the Northwest Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW, talking Northwest Missouri State Soccer. The Bearcats going 1-1 last week, a 1-0 loss to Missouri Western. They bounced back on Sunday, though, a 3-2, two overtime win over Washburn. Head coach Mark Gordon joining us. And coach, what a day there on Sunday. That had to be a lot of fun, getting a little extra time there out there on the pitch, but finding a way to pull out a victory there and continuing to move up the conference standings.
Yeah, It was a beautiful day. The weekend worked out really well. Friday was nice. Saturday, you know, miserable rain, cold. But so Sunday was gorgeous. It was a great day for a match. Just kind of back and forth, and went into overtime, and had a great header scored by Bree Wawiorka off a service from Grace Weininger for the game winner. So it was a good goal.
Whenever you look at that match overall, and you're coming down to the very end, some adversity pops up. Washburn ties it up just around 2 minutes left in regulation there. That's an easy one, I think, for players to get down to themselves, hang your head at all, but to be able to go in there, win it in double overtime, what was the discussion like on the sideline, and what was the body language like from your team to be able to bounce back and say, hey, we can do this?
You know, they gave us about 5 minutes before the first overtime, so I was kind of going through what I wanted to do, who I wanted on the field, and how we were going to manage our first 10-minute period. And just to the side, the leadership of the team kind of stepped in and had a really good sense that they knew they had let one slip away in regulation, but that we had an opportunity to go get this done. And so I think the mindset their drive was good, so we went into it with the right attitude as we started that first overtime.
Is that grit that you see that's kind of built up in your few seasons here at Northwest Missouri State of, you know, not just kind of being lax and letting this slip away, but finding a way to push through?
Yeah, you know, I think it began in season two. We had some opportunities similar, and have managed to right the ship, so to speak, and take advantage of these opportunities. So yeah, the overall, I say mindset a lot in terms of the team and where it's trying to go is improving. I mean, their focus and desire to be a highly competitive team in the conference is what the goal is. And I told them it's games like this that we have to work through this adversity and set ourselves up for success.
A big day for Bree there. She had a couple goals. Also, the third goal kind of sandwiched in between there, Tegan Blackburn. That came off of one of Bree's misses. So she kind of had a handle in a little bit of everything going on there throughout that game against Washburn. But what she meant to this team and stepping up there with a big day.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, the second goal by Tegan actually, you know, just went over the rules again with Colin this morning. If we were had official stats and so forth, she'd be credited with another point because it was a direct shot off the crossbar and came back to Tegan without any defensive deflection. So she had a 5-point game.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good. So, you know, a last opportunity, a home game, and for her senior on her way out, I was very excited for her.
What has this senior class meant to be able to go through and you think about COVID-19 and the year that we've had, and there's been so much adversity popping up away from the pitch to be able to come out and perform like that on the pitch and still pushing through it this year. What has a senior class overall kind of meant to what we're seeing this spring?
I think, you know, several are going to come back, but Bree is one that has chosen to go on, and she has some plans for grad school or to finish her nursing degree. And she had to toil with that a little bit. And then, you know, I didn't bring it up again yesterday. But, you know, in my heart, I was like, boy, you know, that was an awful good day. But no, she had, it's been great. I mean, for her to keep her focus and knowing it's about just the game at this point, and she's contributing to the program and the continued growth of it, and you know, leaving their class legacy and kind of leading the way as kind of the sole senior at this point that will finish out the season with us, that is actually going to graduate.
Friday was one of those kind of cruddier days and not nearly as nice out, but that's a 1-0 loss to Missouri West, and you played them a couple times this year, the first one a scoreless tie. That's a team that's playing well. They're near the top of the MIAA. When you kind of look at that, is that a measuring stick almost of saying, we're getting that close, we're right there, it's just a matter of getting over the hump for getting some of those W's against teams like that?
You know, I think we are there with them. They've been in a new system with a new coach. A pretty good core was provided to him. He's done well with it. They've done some adjusting. I feel like we've let some things slip through our fingers in our two matches with them. All credit to what they've done and how they've performed. But really, we need to put away our chances. We were on a bit of a slump there for a while, so it was nice to finally see some goals go in on Sunday. So, yeah, you know, they're playing really well, and I think we're very close. We, you know, a tie and a 1-0 loss, knowing what we had available to us in each of those matches is a little disappointing to know what those results are.
We head into the final week of the regular season. You've got Nebraska Kearney and Fort Hays, both of those coming up away from home. But a chance to close out the regular season as the number three team in the MIAA North heading into the MIAA tournament. What would that mean for you guys to be able to do that, especially one of the teams you're tied with right now, Fort Hays? You had that chance to take them on head-to-head.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll look to Friday and go on to Kearney. Apparently it's going to be cold and wet up there Friday night.
Perfect.
So, things are going to improve, be a little bit nicer in Hays. Not discounting, I'm sure there will be wind out in western Kansas. So, but, you know, we're going to focus on Friday first, and, you know, we're just kind of doing some scouting and watching some film on them, just kind of see who they are. And did a little bit of that yesterday and watched them play Mo West. Fort Hays played Mo West yesterday. Trying to keep track of all these games and who's playing where and who's doing what. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to the two matches, and very likely we'll – In the bracketing and how this cross bracketing thing is going, we very likely could see either one of them again in our semi postseason setup.
You know, at this point with everything we've seen throughout the year, it's kind of just roll with the punches, whatever they throw out there, just go with it. So
we're happy there are matches, and
definitely,
and all the kids have been really good in responding and making the games competitive. And I, again, for the senior class, those kids that are in the different programs that are putting in the work, it's just good to see them get their last chance for those that are finishing up and going on.
All right. Well, it should be a fun weekend wrapping up the regular season. Nebraska Kearney and Fort Hays State coming up this weekend. Coach Gordon, appreciate the time. Good luck.
Yep. Thank you.
Mark Gordon, Northwest Missouri State head soccer coach, joining us here on KXCV KRNW. We'll take a timeout. Be back with more of the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We talk baseball with the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe. And Darren, busy week for your team last week, able to get in a game against Ottawa University in Ottawa, and then a trip on down to Edmond, Oklahoma, to face Central Oklahoma. And first of all, let's just talk about that Ottawa game. Bats really came to life in that one, 22 runs in a 22-7 win.
Yeah, I thought we played real well on Wednesday. You know, that opportunity to play a non-conference game, you know, standing's not on the line. It's, you get a chance to see some other people, see some guys on the mound, and really felt like our guys started seeing the ball a lot better, got a lot of confidence in their swings, and were able to put up a lot of hits in that game. So that was good to see, and I think that really did flow into our weekend at Central Oklahoma.
Talk about 22 runs in that first time since, 2015, you scored 20 or more runs in a game.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that we've been waiting for that. We know we have an offensive team and feel like our guys were just off a little bit, you know, for whatever reason, and just had to get their confidence back and feel like we definitely took a step in the right direction on that in that Wednesday game.
Now then a trip on to Edmond, Oklahoma, three-game series there. Unfortunately, losing two out of the three in that series. But again, it looks like from a run standpoint, you're able to get some things going offensively down there.
Yeah, I think in the three-game series, I thought we swung the bats well. You know, as we were just discussing, you know, the game three, Central Oklahoma was able to hit three balls out. Wind was blowing out on the last day, and we hit 8 or 10 balls that were caught right at the fence, and could have been home runs, but they were just 3 feet short. So that could have changed the complexity of that game a little bit. Came out in game one, put up a lot of runs, got good pitching by Spencer Hansen, and our bullpen kept it in it to get the win in game one. Scored a lot of runs in game two. Unfortunately, we kind of gave it up at the end of the game. Kind of misplayed a ball in the outfield. Gave Central Oklahoma a lot of confidence, you know, after that. And then we just weren't really good out of the bullpen on the back end. And that's probably one that, you know, you're going to look back in a month and say, really should have had that one, just the way it went down. And then yesterday in game three, I thought we really battled. Had base runners in scoring position, you know, really had a couple good arms on the mound for Central Oklahoma that made good pitches when they needed to. And like I said, we were just 3 feet short on about 8 or 10 balls.
You know, and we talked a little bit last week about this too, but how much of a difference it makes from what could be a good series to a bad series. And you look at a couple of innings there in game two of that doubleheader Saturday, and pull that one out, you're looking at them winning two out of three then and coming back feeling pretty good about a trip.
Sure. You know, I think two out of three on the road against a quality team like Central Oklahoma, you know, certainly would have been a big weekend. But, you know, coming down the stretch here, you know, you got to get as many wins as you can. And would have loved to have that, but we can't look backwards and feel sorry about ourselves on that one. We have to look forward to Fort Hays. And you know, we play a midweek against William Jewell tomorrow. Another opportunity to see, maybe see some. See some pitches, see some more guys, see some other guys out of the bullpen, and hopefully brush up going into the weekend at Hays, Kansas.
Now, I need to mention this is being recorded on a Monday and playback on a Tuesday, so we're talking about a game coming up here a little bit later for our listeners here as far as that match up with William Jewell. But at this point in the season, you say you need to build up some wins, but what are some of the big things that you've seen that's come out of this team this year up to this point?
Well, I think as you look over the course of the last 6 or 8 weeks, I think we've gotten better in every phase as we go along. You know, it's with the COVID, you know, restrictions. You go back to our recruiting class of last year. We weren't really able to see any of those guys. You know, you didn't know what they could do. You didn't have any numbers that anybody put up. you weren't able to try them out because of the restrictions there. So, coming out of the fall, had a pretty good idea where some guys were. But, you get into, wins and losses and lineups, and all of a sudden you kind of find out what guys don't know or what their expectation is or what our expectation is of them. So, having a lot of new faces, I think, has affected us this year. I think those teams that were able to bring back more of their seniors with that COVID year of eligibility, I think are having a little bit more success right now. We lost all but one of our seniors. So, just a lot of new faces that have never seen the talent level of the MIAA, I think early was a little bit shocking for them. But now all of a sudden, you get in the flow and you kind of see what the quality of baseball is in the MIAA, and all of a sudden, they're starting to settle in a little bit.
So you look at toward this week that you're talking about, what are some of the main things you're looking to see out of, again, back on the road in Liberty against William Jewell, and then back to the MIAA this week with Fort A State, and on the road there, what are some of the things you're looking at with these matchups coming up?
Well, I think the biggest thing is continue to get good pitching. I think we've had very good starting pitching for the most part in all year. We have been short Max Spitzmiller. He's usually our Friday guy. Pulled a muscle in his shoulder. It's not a season-ending thing, but it's an injury that he needs to get better. So he's questionable again for this weekend. Spencer Hansen has moved up to the number one spot. So he'll pitch game one. Zach Weiss, a true freshman, really been proud of him. He's sitting at about a 4 ERA and just goes out and competes and gives us, six or seven quality innings to start a ball game. And as a true freshman pitching the MIAA, I think that's pretty impressive. So he does a nice job, and we've moved Zach Shadlow, who was our closer last year, have moved him up to the number three starter now when Max has been out on day one. So just continue to get that bullpen, a little bit more consistent. I thought Phil Brenneman, another true freshman on the mound, had a great outing yesterday, gave us four really solid innings coming out of the bullpen, struck out seven. Really felt like he came into his own a little bit yesterday, and continue to kind of expand that bullpen so we can be a little bit more successful at the end of games. And then continue playing great defense and continue swinging the bats, coming out of this week and going on to next week. Just continue to improve at the plate and just be a little bit more consistent.
All right. Well, Darren, thanks a lot for being with us on the show this week.
Thanks, John.
Okay, and that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State baseball team, Darren Lowe. We'll be back and have more right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Today's game is underwritten by Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering support to Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri each day during times of uncertainty through emergency services and a local team of providers and nurses. More information at clarindahealth.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seed's been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgrow seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum has served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family with a variety of services, including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Information available at MaryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at PizzaRanch.com.
Well, Northwest Missouri State volleyball with a couple of wins over the weekend. First, Fort Hays State, a 3-0 win there on Friday, then knocking off number 10 UNK on Saturday. We have head coach Amy Worth with us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show, and coming away from the weekend, two dominant wins, you're finishing the regular season strong. That has to feel good, especially considering who you're taking on over the weekend.
Yeah, I just think from the standpoint of the confidence that has been built over, you know, the last 3 weeks, I think it's super high going into that postseason conference tournament.
You think about taking on UNK back in March, and you get swept in Kearney by a total of 6 points. I mean, it couldn't be any closer. Then you turn around on Saturday and absolutely whipped them. I mean, how early could you tell that things just felt different before the match on Saturday as opposed to that one back in March?
It was pretty early that I had the thought of that they were either going to be really good tonight because they were very, very focused, or if I was reading them that they weren't really ready. So I was actually kind of wondering at the beginning because I haven't seen that from them before. So in a positive realm, it worked out in the positive side and that side. But yes, what made it interesting to me that I paid attention to was the amount of focus and just how they're sick of losing to Kearney and they're just ready to get it over with so they can go beat them.
The first W over UNK since 1990. Just for some perspective, what were you doing back in 1990?
Oh, 1990. let's see. I graduated in 98, which is dating me here. So I was, 10 years old? I was going to school, coming home. I can tell you this, I was playing a lot of video games at that age. I was getting into basketball for sure, but I'd come home every single day and watch the Brady Bunch. So that's what I was doing in 1990, I bet.
I feel like I'd like to get into that video game conversation, but that's probably an interview down the road at some point.
There was a lot of Mario Brothers and a lot of back in the day when they came out with that one track and field video game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that with the little hand, with the feet thing that you ran on the pad?
Yeah, my parents hated when I played that.
Yeah, we used to play that a lot, but we used to cheat because we used to put our hands on it instead of run because you could go faster.
Crazy.
No, those were some of the things I was doing back in 1990.
Crazy to think how things have changed over the last three decades since that point. But for Northwest, a huge win over the Lopers. Going through that 25-17 in set one, set two, you take it 26-24. Getting late in that at that point, you're down 21-18. Northwest scores 4 straight points and 5 of 6 to go up 23-22. It would have been awful easy to let that one slip away. They've got some momentum. It's 21-18. Yeah, you took the first set. You know what? Hey, if we drop this one, that's fine. We're even. But not allowing that to happen, that relentless nature for Northwest Missouri State volleyball. Do you remember that stretch and what's going through your mind as you see the Bearcats build that back up and just take it?
Yeah, I do remember that stretch, and I actually had the thought, hey, we'll get this evened up, with the same kind of thought process. But it's not that I was okay with it, but sometimes that happens, you know, the other team's going to push back, and you just have to respond. And I do remember a timeout that we talked about playing point by point, stop looking at the score, just play point by point. And I think that boded well, you know, it worked out for us really well, and we're just so darn competitive, you know, and we weren't ready to let up. And we found our way into that match by pushing through, you know, and getting up there to 23, like you said. And they're not satisfied for going just to 23. They wanted to get the rest of it, which I thought that was a huge, huge statement to make there in the second set.
When we talked at this time last week, it was, we want to beat Kearney, but we have to start just by taking a set from them.
Yep.
Going up 1-0, how big was that just mentality-wise of, man, not only do we take a set, we won it by 8, we can come out, we can put together a couple more and take this whole thing.
Yeah. The thing about it is I could feel the energy after we were up 2-0. I could feel it. And I kind of bonked them on the head a little bit by saying it's 0-0, it doesn't matter. And the reason why I bonked them on the head is because I know how good of a team Nebraska-Kearney is, and you can't give them anything. You know, you can't think that you're up 2-0 and you're going to walk away with an easy win. So I knew from the standpoint of keeping their heads out of the clouds, so to speak, that we had to come back down to earth and still had a lot of work to do because 25 points is still a lot of work. So I was just proud of how they rolled up their sleeves there in the third set and got it done the way that they did.
So the regular season's over. The MIAA tournament will start on Friday, and you're always hyper-focused on that next thing, what's in front of you, today's practice, and so on.
But have you had a chance to kind of step back and think about the significance of what Saturday's win means to this program?
Yeah, I have. It's still setting in how surreal that was and how we did it, I think, is the surreal piece of it. If you had asked me if we would have done it in three, based on the first time we played them and we lost by 6 points, you know, it's already been said amongst us as a coaching staff that we could have been flipped there in March. But in order to not just do what we did by 6 points, but by making even a bigger statement on our floor, I think when there's been so many other times that we haven't done that on our floor, I think is such a cool page to turn, like a new chapter to turn for us as a program. And I think those are wins that you're never going to forget and that you can talk about for years and years to come. So it's going to be a huge pinnacle for us to continue to drive for not only can we play with Kearney, we can also beat them. So,
and of course, we have to touch on Friday's win over Hayes briefly as well. You hold them to a hitting percentage of .084. I mean, that has to be demoralizing for a team just not getting anything to be able to fall.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I've been on that end before. And I just felt like our girls' intensity on the defensive end has stepped up further and further and further. And we've been asking more and more of them with the intent to have a super high intensity. And I feel like they've shown that. And just the hunger is there for sure. And it's just fun to be able to do that to a team.
This upcoming weekend, the MIAA tournament starts. The first round matchup, the quarterfinal round matchup for Northwest, comes against Washburn. The third time you'll see the Ichabods this year. The Bearcats have won six straight. It started after a loss to Washburn. So you split the last two, the winner coming on their own home floor. Other than home court, what was the major difference between the win for Northwest here in Maryville and then the loss to Washburn in Topeka?
I just felt like they did their game plan at a higher level than us at Washburn. I could say the same thing about us when we were here. We pretty much overwhelmed them when we were here, and they pretty much overwhelmed us when we were there. And I would say the overwhelming took place because of the offensive side. So the offensive flowing is a big deal, and I think it's going to be a big dogfight as we go through.
Well, in Topeka, you'll be on their home floor, but then at the same time, it's also postseason, kind of throw things out and hit the reset button. So exciting stuff for Northwest. A couple wins over the weekend. Hayes, then number 10, Kearney, now heading into the MIAA tournament. So, Coach, we always appreciate the time. Good talking with you, and good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Northwest head volleyball coach Amy Wirth has the Bearcats getting set for Washburn this weekend. We will take a timeout. Back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure-Go Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's has provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, open 7 to 7 daily. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. The walk-in clinic is also open from 8 to noon Saturdays. Appointment information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Bearcat Bookstore and the J.W. Jones Student Union. The bookstore supplies Bearcat apparel for men, women, and kids, as well as gifts, accessories, and Northwest logo items. More at nwmissouri.bncollege.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Time now to talk football with Rich Wright. And Rich, it's been a while since we had a chance to talk a little football, I guess, during the signing day back in February. But because it's been a while since you've been on the microphones here with us.
No doubt. I'm not sure what to do myself. So, yeah, it's good to be here. Just excited to get going again. And and kind of return back to normal.
And this past Saturday, you had an opportunity to scrimmage with Sioux Falls as they came down for the scrimmage. A nice turnout of fans to watch that. And let's get, first of all, a little bit of a background about setting that up with Sioux Falls. Their head coach, John Anderson, Maryville native. And just talk about how all that came together to be able to pull that off on Saturday.
Sure. You know, we were exploring the options of different people to scrimmage with. And I had some criteria for us, particularly in the spring. First of all, I wanted to do it with somebody that I trusted. Number two, I wanted it to be a quality opponent. And then I wanted it to be somebody outside the league. And so, actually, I was visiting with Charlie Floor one day, and he said that Sioux Falls was looking for that type of a format. And so I reached out to John. Sioux Falls had been a playoff team in 2019. I know the type of program and the type of people that are up there, so I felt good about the coaching staff, us being able to keep people up and do some of those things. And then obviously the tie-in with John and being from Maryville, just kind of seemed to make a lot of sense. So I reached out to him, and they were interested, and we kind of just moved along from there.
And let's just talk about the format you set up. It really looked like it was really well done as far as everything put together out there, and it seemed like it was something that was beneficial for both teams.
Yeah, I think so. As I had tried to paint a picture for what we wanted to do, we kind of went to a model of an NFL controlled practice. You'll see that a lot of times in the preseason where two of the NFL teams will get together and they'll basically run through practice segments. And that's what we tried to do. Focus was on team segments, but, everything from a Skelly period to the O-line, D-line were one-on-ones. We did a team run period, did third down situations, first down, second down, and then red zone/goal line, and then the overtime. But what we were trying to do is if you put the scoreboard on and you put the sticks live and you do all that, our biggest thing that we were trying to do with most of the day is keep everybody up. And both of us knew that our kids were going to be pretty fired up to play in the event. And so the more we could take the actual scrimmage piece out of it and make it situational, we felt like would benefit both sides without creating the potential for injuries. In the spring, that's a bigger concern just because if you get a knee or you get a shoulder, you don't have the length of time to recover from that. So we were just trying to do everything we could to keep people healthy.
And I would imagine from the athlete's standpoint, it was nice to be able to go out and just go up against somebody in a different uniform than what you've been able to in the last year and a half.
That was the one thing that really struck me at the end of the scrimmage, just, being involved in it. I kept telling the kids, it's just a practice. And so when we kind of went into it, it was almost humbling to watch their faces. I was oblivious to just how much we needed that, mentally. The look on those kids' faces was priceless. I've coached football for 28 years, and I don't know that I've ever seen a group of people so excited just for an opportunity to compete. And it's, I think there's a sense of appreciation around our program right now. When you go 500 days without being able to do what you do, so to speak, you feel like it's been taken away. And so to resume normal again was just a lot of fun.
And watching that practice, to me, one of the things that really stood out from a Northwest standpoint was the play that you guys had on the offensive and defensive lines. It really seemed like things came together for you in that aspect of the game.
Yeah, I know on our end, we really controlled the line of scrimmage. We went on a 20-play team run period where I'm not sure they gained a yard, and that was attributed to the front four. And then on the other end of the ball, after watching the tape this morning, really noticed how well we ran. And you don't do that without executing at the line of scrimmage. And we felt good about both those phases. So,
and really looked like a couple of the running backs that you're bringing into the program that performed very well Saturday.
They did, and it's, again, you get so used to going against each other all the time. It was just nice to perform against somebody else and see how those kids would do. in more of a game-like situation, and several of the guys really stepped up and performed well.
What are some of the things that you really, as you know, you had a chance to watch the tape and things that you felt came out of this for you?
Well, you know, one of the things that was, you know, just going through our spring that was kind of hit us all in the face was just the lack, because we didn't have a season in the fall, is the lack of experience we have as a football team. Other than my starting four guys, to just give you an example on the defensive line, I have one other kid in the depth chart that's ever taken a college snap. And so it's kind of humbling to see, you know, just how quickly, you know, when you don't have a season, that your depth evaporates. So, you know, one of our big challenges is going to get those kids to understand how to play to our standard and do it without games, because everybody's going to be in the same situation. But if you were to look in totality, and I know John said the same thing, he said they stayed at the hotel the night before, and they asked, you know, they said, if you've been on a road trip, please stand up. And he said, we only had 20 guys of the 80 guys that we brought that had ever been on a road trip for Sioux Falls. And so those things are going to be some of the key ingredients moving forward, getting ready to open up against Fort Hays State week one, that we're going to have to get rectified. Need to continue to foster development in our back end on the defensive side. Feel like we have a pretty good blend of experience in the front seven, but the back end's going to have to come together, and that's going to be important. Flipping it over on the offense, we got to continue to grow with our running game. Our running back situation has to continue to improve. And then we were without two of our four tight ends on Saturday. So, you know, the kid that was kind of earmarked to be the number one tight end because of a hamstring injury didn't even play. So it'll be continuing to get those guys developed into our system. Offensively, you know, if I can talk about that for a minute, I really felt like, you know, this year has given Coach Sturdy an opportunity to really install the offense, have our kids have a level of comfort with the operations and the nuances of it, and that's going to be a big benefit for us moving forward.
As far as the offense goes, what are some of the major changes that fans will be able to see with the offense when it comes up in the fall?
Coach Sturdy just has so much experience running an offense and running it at a very high level. It's the multiplicity of it, the ability to run and throw the football. He does a great job of identifying weaknesses and coverages and exploiting that within the menus in their passing game. Little tweaks, little wrinkles. You know, he's kind of a, I call him the quarterback whisperer. He's always been a really good quarterback's coach, dating back to when we first met in 2000. And, you know, Braden and Mike both, I think, and you saw a little bit of that on Saturday, have really grown under him, understanding where to go with the ball. He's done a nice job. One of the things that he believes in is giving the quarterback some leeway to check protections, check plays, do some things on their own if they can identify it. And that's one, what, you know, something that we hadn't done previously, and I think it's really going to help us moving forward, that if we're in a bad situation, that the quarterback can make us right.
Well, what's next for your team as you, again, go through and get things set up for the summer type of program that you have and get ready for the fall? What's up for your team now?
What we've got right now is actually we've got our young guys scrimmage today. We're going to go at 4:30 and let those guys scrimmage. We're actually going to have our seniors coach it, so they're all going to feel what I feel like for a day. So we're going to go out there and get after that. Then on Wednesday, we're going to put together with the position coaches a menu of things for them to do on their own for the summer for the first part. We're going to draft our teams for the weight room. So we hold a draft, and we'll make a big deal out of that. The different teams will earn points throughout the summer for the weight room. That has rights and privileges that go along with it. So we'll do the draft, and then dead week and finals for them. Excuse me. And then our players will have a couple weeks off, and right after the Memorial holiday, they'll be back in town to start up our strength and conditioning program and take a little bit of a week off in July, and then we'll come back and really gear it up and have some more true practice type stuff. And then August 7th, it's time to go.
I imagine you're looking forward to that date very much right now.
Very much, although I would like a summer vacation because I didn't get one last year. Yeah. So just to be able to go a couple days with my family, but short of that, yes, I am.
Cardinal baseball involved with the summer at all?
Absolutely, it's going to be. We're off to a good start.
Not bad, not bad. Just Milwaukee kind of hit us a little bit, but outside of that, I think things are looking good.
Yep, not bad at all. We're going to have a chance to make a run this year, I think, in the Central.
All right. Well, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's Northwest Missouri State head football coach Rich Wright, and that's going to wrap things up for us here on today's KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show. Appreciate everyone tuning in for today's broadcast. Be sure to check it out once again next Monday at noon right here on KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe for another edition of the Bearcat Coaches Show. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long.